question I was going to ask the children is, because you know, they've got lots of school friends, and we have also lots of friends. But really, what makes a person a special friend? You know, because you know lots of people, and loosely we often call them friends, but what makes somebody a special friend or a good friend? I haven't got any chocolates for you either, so.
Because they're there for you in good times and in bad.
They're supportive, yes.
And they've usually got chocolate.
They'll come even when it costs them something.
Sorry, they'll
even when it costs them.
Even when they're costing them. Oh, yes. Come on, Lottie, you'll come further forward. So I can hit. Sorry?
They don't take the
mickey out of you and they don't bully you. Yes, please, somebody's up, yes. What about other things? What makes somebody to be a good friend?
Being there for you.
Being there for you. What do you mean by that? Loving, caring, supportive.
Non-judgmental.
Empathetic. Trustworthy. Share your problems. Perhaps shared experiences. They've done things together, haven't they? Perhaps you've had meals together, holidays together. Perhaps you're at school together. Any other things that
you can?
Yes. You know, shared interests, shared experiences. Spent time together, haven't they? You know, if you're a good friend, somebody often you spend time together with. You know, loving, forgiving, you know, because we all make mistakes, don't we? And it's nice when you know somebody will forgive you and you'll forgive them. You know, willing to defend somebody else's reputation. You know, if somebody at school said that something nasty about Lottie, you'd hope her really good friend would stand up for her, wouldn't you? Stand up and say, no, Lottie's great, you know, she's not like that. You sort of hope that people would do that, don't you? Sort of, you've had times of laughter and cry together, haven't you? Like you said, being with one another, when you really need somebody, the time you can open your heart up with confidence, isn't it? Do you think so? So, do you think disciples... do you think disciples were good friends of Jesus? Were the disciples good friends of Jesus? Yes, because what have they done? They'd spent all this time together. They spent time going around. And what did Jesus say? He said, I've called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, some of you are here, I know, go to the theatre. And reading this passage, it's a bit like some of the plays I've been to, where the final little bit of scene takes you right back to the very beginning. Have you seen those scenes when you've had all around a dinner table at the end? And the first scene was all around a dinner table at the beginning. A bit like some of the Alan Ayckbourn plays, it's gone in different directions, isn't it? And what we've got here is, it's like Jesus coming down to them again by the lake, isn't it? It's like him saying to them, remember. Remember the time you were first fishing and I told you to cast the net out after you've been unsuccessful. And what do? You cast the net out and you found the fish. It's like taking them back to where he was at the beginning. Now, I know we're all saints here and we're all angels. But, you know, if a really good friend of yours had let you down or let a person who's not a saint down, how might they have reacted? How might they have reacted if somebody had really hurt? Now, if you hadn't been a saint and somebody had really hurt you, what sort of reactions might you have? Angry?
Vengeful?
Don't worry about that. But held against you, yes. What other ways might you be? Disappointed? What else you might have Yes, you might have given them the cold shoulder. You might have ignored them, walked away from them. You might have, I don't know, you might have said, what, really shouted them? You know, why have you done that? I might have really said to them, look, you know, look at how Jesus might have reacted to Peter. You know, he might have said to him, you're a big mouth, my boy, aren't you? You know, you boast like this, and you can say you can do that. And what do? You put your foot right in it. You know, put your foot in your mouth all the time. And you might have said, Peter, you're not as good as John, are you? He wouldn't have said that and let me down. He wouldn't have done this. He said, look, what would have happened if you'd stood up for me? Perhaps I wouldn't have been killed on the cross. He didn't say that either, did he? He didn't say any of that. But what Jesus did was, very calmly, because these guys must have been quite frightened, quite nervous, he just said gently to them, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. And they would have probably come over and thinking, well, last time we saw Jesus, we're in a big room with lots of people, but now he's going to point his eye at us, give us the eye, point his finger at us. But no, it was very gently. They had breakfast together. When they finished, Jesus then starts talking to Peter. And these questions are quite direct, aren't they? They really are quite direct. And I don't know about you, but if you had those sort of that pause in a meal when somebody keeps repeating the same thing to you, and you're starting thinking, am I going down lower and lower in my chair here? Do I hide underneath the floor? But no, but Jesus was really, he asked him three times for a very simple reason. Because it was three times that Jesus had denied Peter. Sorry, Peter denied Jesus. Sorry. And, you know, it was to get him into that place, wasn't it? And, you know, you see here that you've got, John records that Jesus actually foretold how Peter was to die. But the words following it were, follow me, follow me. You know, it's that gentle, forgiving restoration of who he was. You know, what a nice way of doing it. And I've wondered, looking at this story, thinking that, you know, if Jesus hadn't met these guys by the lake, would they have actually gone on? You know, because they've had a really, as Vaughan was saying, a really quite traumatic time, haven't they? They spent 3 years of their life following Jesus. They've had this most euphoric moment they could possibly imagine or live with. Walking into Jerusalem with Jesus, all the crowds baying, putting the palms down, praising God. And they're thinking, wow, what's happening here? We're part of this. And then they see him killed on a cross. And they've all hidden away. As Chris mentioned a week or so ago, like at Life of Brian, hiding underneath the lampshade or whatever else. You know, it's that sort of type of trauma. And they're probably still just amazed and blown apart as to what's going on. But Jesus is there, isn't he? He's restoring. And I think this story has quite a few messages for us, really. Because, you know, we're not going to be a situation where we're going to be facing potential death if we deny Jesus, are we? But I'm sure you're like me. We've all at times denied Jesus. We've turned him down. We've had people mocking him, and we've just ignored it. We've just kept quiet, haven't we? We've had people, you know, it's just, You know, we've stayed quiet when others have blamed God for their misfortune. At times we have, sure, saddened and grieved Jesus when we have perhaps drifted away from church, when we haven't prayed like we ought to be praying. We've ignored his word. We've drifted away from fellowship. And I'm sure it's made him sad. But what does he say? He said in the parable that the good shepherd will leave the 99 in search of the 100th one. And he goes out for us wherever we are. And he wants to draw us in, to love and to restore us, because he can see the potential that we have. He sees that potential. You see, with Jesus, he saw the potential Jesus had. He saw that he was going to be a fisher of men. And if you just look at what Peter achieved because of that, you know, you saw him, that wonderful oratory at Pentecost, you know, his leadership and courage, which we read about in the book of Acts. And if we look at his letter, there's some wonderful encouraging words in there. It says, rid yourselves of all malice, hypocrisy, envy, craves pure spiritual milk. Be holy in all you do. Abstain from sinful desires. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. You are called so you may inherit a blessing. Be self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, but instead that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Each one should use whatever gifts he has to serve others. Now, some of these factors we talked about here, you know, if we had those in a family situation, and we also have that love and gentleness of Jesus, we care for those children, whatever age those we are, we need sometimes to encourage our children the right way around, don't we? But if we have that, we're going to have a healthy family situation. And, you know, we need good friends, whether it's a young child age, a person at school, or yet to go to school, or whether you're somebody at Phyllis's age. We all need good friends, especially good Christian spiritual friends. We need somebody or people who will pray for us, who will help us to persevere during the difficult times. We also need a good friend at times to challenge us. You know, if I went off the rails and started upsetting Derek here, I hope somebody would say to me, you spoke to Derek not so well. Where's your gentleness? You're being judgmental. I want somebody to tell me that. I need a good friend. And if that person is somebody I love and trust, you know, it may be Jesus speaking through them to me to change. We need to be able to be changed. We need to feel secure enough that our good friends can challenge us. And we hope that those good friends will also encourage and inspire us. Because if they do, we may achieve some of the potential that Jesus can see in us. And I can tell you, if you have been fortunate enough to encourage a good friend to really develop and use their hidden or controlled spiritual gifts, which bless them and enrich others, it's a very sweet thing to experience. Because we want to encourage each other. We want to encourage each person in this church to reach their full potential. Because that's what good friends do. And referring back to John 15, Peter, we're friends of Jesus, you see. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. This is my command. Love each other. And the words of this song just now. Oh. Yes. We want us to be made like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. And the reason is, as the second song just had just now, his love never fails, and it never gives up on us, does it? So just remember that. His love never gives up on us. And if you remember that, maybe we will be that crystal stone. Thank you very much.